We're back with more of Lake Effect, and I'm Bonnie North. During this dark and cold time of the year, the Milwaukee Ballet traditionally heats up the Marcus Center with its winter series. It's a yearly performance of three new dance works made for the ballet. The aim of the series is to challenge the traditional definitions of ballet, to stretch the boundaries of both the dancers and the audience. This year's series gets underway tonight with new works by American Gabriel Lamb, Italian Luca Vigetti, and Australian Tim O'Donnell. O'Donnell is also a member of the Milwaukee Ballet Company. I sat down with all three of them in one of the rehearsal rooms at the company's headquarters on 5th and National, and I asked what it meant to them to be pushing the boundaries of dance. O'Donnell began.
I think in this case, pushing the boundaries of ballet really relates to the fact that it's a classical company. When I'm choreographing, my movement is always quite contemporary, but when it comes to working primarily with classically trained dancers who actually work mainly as classical dancers, it's really about getting them to break down their classical structure a little bit more.
As Tim said, it's very true that a choreography is sometimes, say, conditioned to work in a certain way by the environment it's in. You know, if the company is a company that mainly does a classical repertoire, is led in a way, sometimes by condition that have actually little to do with the choreographic process. It's maybe because the dancers meanwhile rehearse classical ballet, so their body it naturally flows into that direction. But however, on my own end, I want to say that it is not a question for me to push the boundaries. I just do what I do. And then if it's perceived that way, that's fine with me. I'm happy. But I do just to follow what Tim was saying, that I do feel that dance is a language, and as every language is in a constant development. So even the what we call the classical ballet technique has developed over the years. And if we look even just a picture of the 19th century, when we all agree that the language we're using now stems from, at least that's the closest thing we can think of, we can see that was radically different. I do consider dance a language in development and that it constantly redefines. Ballet, however, is a different matter because it's a ballet and dance, or this ballet is a genre, I would say, of theatrical dancing. So there's almost two different things that we are talking about. Like, I mean, to be perceived like a choreographer that pushes the boundaries, I think is very flattering to all of us, rather than be, you know, a conservative. Winston Churchill used to say that a young conservative is an idiot, and he was probably right.
And for you, Gabrielle?
So for me, what remains of ballet in my work is sort of an attention to form and to detail. And I think that sometimes I work with more contemporary dancers. The dancers here at Milwaukee Ballet they do have beautiful classical technique. And so automatically I start really going for precision, maybe, whereas I would push certain other qualities if I were working with more contemporary dancers.
Also, like what? What other kind of qualities might you push?
I might push a lot more covering space, for example, or maybe explosiveness, although I don't really do that very much. So, yeah, I think I automatically go more for precision because I know they can do it and their bodies are trained for that. Also, a lot of the movement that I start out the process with comes from my own body. I have to come prepared with something. And so I try to sort of, in between creations, to learn more about other dance forms. I do a lot of contemporary dance anyway, but when I'm in New York, I take some hip-hop classes. And then when I improvise the material I'm going to use for a creation like this, some of that will make its way in. Now, it has nothing to do with the aesthetic of hip-hop at all. That won't show up in my work. It's more about a different kind of coordination than what ballet dancers are used to, because hip-hop is very coordinated. So I think it's about letting other influences infiltrate ballet, which has been happening as long as ballet has been in existence. It's been infiltrated by folk dance and then by jazz dance later on. And so, you know, it's just kind of continuing that process.
Just adding to the pile of things,
right,
that you draw from. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for all of you, I know, Tim, you're a dancer here now. You're part of the company. You've actually danced in some of his work,
right, yeah,
in Luca's work, and you were a dancer as well.
Yes.
Is it a requirement to be a dancer to also be a choreographer? I mean, do you need to know
I would say so.
Yeah?
I
mean,
yes, I think it's a, well.
I know some choreographers who haven't really had dance careers.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes things much harder for them. They struggle much more. I know one choreographer I worked with who came from a film background, and he had beautiful ideas about especially transitions and storytelling, but he really struggled a lot with the vocabulary.
Yeah. No, I mean, you're right, and I'm not saying dancing careers,
right.
But I think you should, in the choreography is made of movement, so I think you should have an understanding of movement. In that sense, you have to, and it's difficult to have an understanding of movement if your own body doesn't have that sense. It doesn't mean that yourself you have to have been a great dancer or a skilled dancer, but that your own being has a as an understanding of what movement is, because that's what you construct your form with, then, yes, no, I don't think you need to have... No, you can come from a different background and being very interested in movement and learn about that.
At some point, you have to invest in learning about movement,
right.
Though.
Yes, it's hard not... I mean, it's like being a composer without knowing what it means to play an instrument at all.
Right.
I mean, you can, theoretically, you know, because music exists in a written form. But are we talking about music? You know, I'm not sure. You know, it's practice, you know, in a way. It's a necessary,
component,
at least for me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I find hard to think that one can...
Because your brain works in certain ways when you move and you watch other people moving and you develop certain analytical ways of thinking about movement that it just takes time and time and time.
Yeah.
And Tim?
My first job in Western Australia actually was working with a Finnish choreographer called Jorma Uttinen. And from my understanding, he actually didn't have dance background at that point.
He had been some kind of contemporary dancer.
Yeah, he was.
Because he was working as a visual artist when
not extremely trained, though.
No, but he was a very important dancer of his generation. Mm. There's no doubt. You know.
Yeah, but definitely didn't have some
ballet
formal training. Even the training he had was more experience rather than the sort of structure that I went through.
Mm-hmm. Right, because you went through ballet school, you all did that kind of training, and so it's so interesting to me to kind of explore where those boundaries cross, you know, whether, as you say, it's that kind of structure that comes from that classical training, but then there's also, you know, sort of the more free form of quote-unquote modern dance or jazz dance or other things that I think it's shaping ballet in such an interesting way and changing it. And yes, we can still go back to Swan Lake, but you can also do what you guys are doing and taking these forms and kind of, again, to borrow the PR phrase, pushing the boundary a little bit. What is it like to work on a series like this? I mean, you're not necessarily working together as choreographers, but you're on the same bill. Do you talk to each other about what you're doing and how it might or might not complement each other?
No, we haven't in this case, as far as I know. But just simply because our schedule, you know, we are often playing against one another in terms of the schedule. And also because I think we respect our... You know, if you want to talk about something, you're free to. And the process, in a way, is private.
Of the creative process.
The preoccupation that the other, you know. And then at the same time, I feel that if to talk to Tim or Gerber would, and sometimes we do, it would free me from some preoccupation. I'll do it, and they'll do it, you know.
Right. Sometimes it's nice to talk to another choreographer.
Absolutely, yes. But, you know, it's. I think it's just a... is a natural, you know, that if we feel that is necessary, we don't have any problem if in exchange or, you know.
Working in something like the Winter Series, what does this do for you as choreographers that you might not get from commissions elsewhere? Or is it pretty much the same? Is you're just working on new pieces and you're working for this particular company?
Every commission is different. I think here I have a little more time, which I like. Being in a time crunch is not fun, and I know that one of the commissions I have coming up, I'm supposed to make a 20-minute piece with 40 hours of rehearsal, which to me that's very, very short. And right now I expect to finish maybe today or tomorrow, which will have me at 3 hours of rehearsal per minute of choreography. So I somehow have to get it down to 2 hours per minute. So here I feel comparatively
relaxed
and calm, and like I can try things that might or might not work out, whereas with that I feel like I have to just go with what I know will work.
So maybe it's not quite as creative as you might like.
I want to find a way to be creative about it, because there's nothing that bothers me more than just falling back on something that I've done before because I can't think of anything else.
Tim?
I think the Milwaukee Ballet audience has come to recognize the Winter Series and in the off year the Genesis Series to be a more innovative program. They know what to expect. Sometimes at the Spring Series in the Marcus Center, it can go into a very classical place, whereas the Winter Series traditionally is a lot more contemporary, a lot more modern, a lot more experimental. And I don't necessarily think that, I mean, I haven't been like trying to be experimental as much as I feel quite free to just do what I want in this. I don't feel like I have to be ticking any boxes other than being myself.
Yes, no, I think, well, in my case, this is the first time I'm working with Milwaukee Ballet, so it's certainly different in that sense. But yes, I agree with both Tim and Gabriel say, you know, it's mysterious. Sometimes I have a lot of time at disposal and I'm not achieving anything. Sometimes I have little time, and because I have little time, I'm forced to find solutions. So it's mysterious in that sense for me, you know.
You never can tell what's going to take a long time unnecessarily and then what's just going to create itself.
Somehow you have to often find a strategy that fits the conditions. I mean, I would say these are, you know, good condition. They are average condition in terms of the timing. You know, they're compared to, for this type of company, I would say. I mean, it's... Balanchine notoriously say that the inspiration comes on union time. You know, and so that I think he trained himself to come up with solutions, and sometimes it's very difficult because I think simply you get tense and then you're scared. You think, oh my God, what am I going to do now?
I'll just
do whatever, you know, I did in the other piece, right, and that worked, and you know, people liked it. And I mean, I'm simplifying, but you know, it can happen certainly that way. That you work yourself up, and then your mind is not free. There's no question. It does teach us something, even that is.
It's not a guarantee.
No, it's not guaranteed.
No. Well, I want to thank you all for taking time out of rehearsal day and everything to talk to me. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Milwaukee Ballet's Winter Series gets underway tonight at Eline Hall, and it runs through Sunday. If you go, you'll see the company perform Gabriel Lamb's Happenstance, Luca Vigetti's Scene 6, and Tim O'Donnell's Talk to Me. I spoke with the three choreographers at the company's headquarters on 5th and National, and there is a link to more information at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks, as always, for tuning in today. Lake Effect returns tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 on listener-supported 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Stay tuned. Fresh air comes your way next.